HarperCollins and Harper Audio present Amy and Lan, a novel by Sadie Jones, performed by Jay Jacobs and Joe Jameson.
Autumn 2005. 1. Halloween. Lan. Me and Amy are both 7 now. Down here at the stream, the water is icy cold and makes our feet ache. I can't stand in it, but Amy doesn't mind, so I stay on the bank or up in a tree, and she walks through the water, chatting about things she hates or what isn't too bad. The main thing is we want to light the bonfire ourselves, and we're hungry. Amy comes out the water and tries to get her wet feet back in her boots, but they won't go. "Damn bloody wellies," she says, and we walk home with them half on and the empty welly feet sticking out so it looks like her legs are broken. She forgets about socks almost every time. It's a long way up the hill. I go backwards so I'll be slow enough to stay with her. I can see the woods bobbing up and down behind her as we go. Birds fly up from them, making empty sounds. We get to the top of the field, then onto the lane and over the bar gate, and cross the yard with Amy still chatting and clumping along on her welly sides to the house. It's a lot warmer inside, and the smells are all pumpkin soup and sausages. She kicks off her stupid boots, and we drop our stuff by the door. The kitchen table is covered in heaps of Walker's ready salted crisps and white buns because of the party, and big pots of cold water with carrots in them. Jim is kneeling by the Rayburn, trying to get it going, and our mums are standing with their arms crossed, staring at him. We ask if we can light the bonfire, and Jim says,
"We'll see how we go."
But he's not paying attention, because when the Rayburn goes out, the whole farmhouse is more and more freezing cold every second. "Put some socks on, Amy," says Harriet. Amy just says, "Mom," because she hasn't got any socks, and she's not going upstairs to get some. Harriet notices things like bare feet. My mum hasn't seen us, I don't think. Jim says,
"There you are, Lan. Would you pass me the WD-40?
His voice is round, not boomy and shouty like Amy's dad. He's definitely got the nicest grown-up voice, and he always likes me helping him. I pass him the WD-40 and the spanner, and he says,
"Thanks."
Like I'm a grown-up man too. Harriet is swearing at the Rayburn, and my mum is on at Jim. He explains it was only the wick last time, not a repair as such. But mum keeps on at him, because they're married. "This is boring," says Amy, and I say, "Let's go." I grab some crisps off the table, and Amy takes a handful of carrots, and we go back out, the carrots all wet and dripping on the stone floor. Amy gets another pair of boots from the pile, too big, with embroidered flowers on and fleece inside. Someone must have left them after coming to play or something. The whole yard is just watery mud. We can see the sky in it like it's a lake. When it's a big giant puddle like this, us kids can slide really fast on our bums and make long waves all across it. But me and Amy are in a hurry because we want to build up the bonfire. It's massive and tall at the bottom of the yard. It's got crates and brush and some old black planks poking out, and the tarp over the top makes it the same shape as a volcano. "It definitely needs more wood," says Amy. "Come on." We go off to the wood store where the logs are. Logs aren't bonfire wood, but we can sneak some if we want. At one end of the store are the split logs, and at the other end are the logs that aren't done yet. And in the middle there's the wheelbarrow, with axes and saws hanging from hooks. Climbing up the woodpile makes the logs move, and when they slide we shout, "Timber!" scrabbling on dirt and beetles all the way down, and some of the logs are really sharp. Me and Amy have always got splinters, nearly every day. We can both sterilize a needle with a match. Then we hold it flat, like Jim showed us, and brush the splinter up.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?